Yes, 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 yes. I kissed a goat. I kissed a goat, and so should everyone. If you haven't kissed a goat, you should try that. You know why? Goats, when they kiss, they don't use their lips. It is true, I kissed a goat, but I did it for the sake of Jesus. And that's a good thing. Okay? And after kissing a goat, I was so impressed by how good of a kisser the goat was. In fact, I named that goat the goat. G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. See, that's why my wife was so jealous and she stopped kissing me after that. Okay, moving on. Happy birthday to you. So I captured some of the testimonies, the fruit of God's labor in and through us. The Lord comes to you. He graces you, he blesses you, then he transforms you, and he uses you to make a difference in the world through other people, to other people, for other people. So let's watch this video clip and just two things. Give God the glory, number one, and two, be inspired by the possibility that you too need to be used by God to reach others. Roll it. Mosaic House Church family, all of our friends and all the partners, happy birthday. This month, we are celebrating the birthday of Mosaic House Church. The vision Christ has given to us is this, that we are a multicultural community of house churches leading people to Jesus and serving our city. We lead people to Jesus, we baptize them, and we make disciples, and we love our neighbors by serving our city. And the way we do that at Mosaic House Church is by living out the six core values. Scripture, in Scripture we know Jesus, in prayer we meet Jesus, in generosity we show Jesus through our time, talents, and treasure, in community we belong with Jesus, and sent out we go out with Jesus, and lastly, movement. We make disciples. We multiply Jesus by making disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. So join me by giving God the glory and celebrating the lives that are being changed.
So when I first moved to Edmonton, I hated this place. I didn't make any friends. I bussed everywhere. It was cold. It was miserable. And 2 years into my move, I think, we came to Mosaic House. And as soon as I came to Mosaic House, I was so grateful to God because I felt like Edmonton could finally become a home. Mosaic House felt very warm and welcoming. I felt surrounded by people who were genuine and like-minded, and it was very easy to plug in. And it still took effort, but not that much effort. It just came very naturally, and things just fell into place. And I felt God was moving at Mosaic House, and that's where we wanted to be.
I just felt accepted. Grace for me is about acceptance. And I was living in shame for a long time. I wasn't happy with who I was or what I was doing and didn't know how to change that. And, you know, God accepted me and has always accepted me, and I never saw that until I saw it through the people at Mosaic House. You know, a lot of the people at church know some of my past. And it didn't matter. They still showed me love and respect and that kind of grace. Like, I've never met a group of people more in line with God's teachings than here at Mosaic House.
Towards the end of my career, I experienced divorce in my life, and it became quite, it brings on a different dynamic within within the people that I used to to get there. You just seem to be the odd person out. And in Mosaic House, I found that I'm not necessarily the only odd person out. There are more people in my position, and there are a lot more single people, both old and young. Some and I think it's part of the Mosaic House. People are inviting, and so they've included me in dinners. We've included in parties. We in game nights. I get a phone call. You want to do this or that, and I'm kind of curious. Like I'm old, and they're not. It is a big part of what keeps me here. Is the friendships that are and the friendships that I find within the community that I'm currently at. Yeah.
What does God have for me in store at Mosaic House in the next 5 years to continue caring for this Mosaic House family? I think we'd like to keep inviting those who don't know Jesus to come and experience what we experience at Mosaic House. And I hope also that Mosaic House would continue to grow in their passion and love for Jesus more and more in the next 5 years.
It is my prayer over the next 5 years that we can just keep being a service to Mosaic House, and we can be cheerful givers. We can be cheerful in house church. We can be cheerful showing up week after week, sometimes getting a no from all the people you invite. I just pray in the next 5 years that God just strengthens both my husband and I, and that our cups are full enough. I think we haven't seen we haven't seen the best of Mosaic House yet. Yeah, there's more to come.
Mosaic House Church, all the friends and all the partners, I want you to recognize that your time, your talents, and your treasure have been making a difference to give God the glory and also to lead people to Jesus. Now, as I end, here's a question for you. What do you believe the risen Christ has in store for us, for Mosaic House Church, and for you in the next 5 years? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
What did you hear? What did you hear? You know what I heard? I heard an old guy saying, I'm not the only odd one out here. That's a good way of saying everybody else is an odd one out here. Okay? That's what I heard, meaning I'm broken, you're broken, we all messed up, we need Jesus. That's what I heard. I also heard someone saying, a Filipino guy saying, I get grace. I experience grace of Christ in the people at Mosaic House Church. That's what I heard. We all messed up, but Jesus accepts us, loves us. Grace means acceptance, and in Christ, God accepts all of us, all bunch of oddballs, odd ones out. And you know what I thought? I heard? I heard someone saying, I believe God is moving in and through Mosaic House Church, and that's where we want to be. I see God working here, and I want my husband, my child, me to be in this movement at Mosaic House Church. You know, the last thing I heard, an African-American woman saying, I believe the best is yet to come. The best of your lives in the mission of Christ, right here, right now, those days are yet to come. The last 11 years, pretty good, praise God. But what's coming in the next 5 and more, anticipate greater things. Attempt greater things for the Lord. Happy birthday, therefore. So we have a gift for you. Mosaic House Church wants to extend a gift to you all, and this is costing Mosaic House Church lots of money, but it is worth the cost. It is, yes, this beautiful lady is handing out the gift cards, and that beautiful Wunderfrau is handing out the gift cards. This is a ticket, your ticket, to find out the following things: your personality, how God has wired you up. You're different. You're an extrovert. You're an introvert. You're people-oriented. You're task-oriented. And second, your leadership style. Everyone is a leader if you are doing something and someone else is following you. You are a leader as a wife. You're a leader as a student. If anyone is following you, if you're doing anything at all with someone else, you have the potential leadership gifts in you. And the third, grace gifts. What are the gifts and the talents God has invested in me? What are you good at? And it's not just because you are good at something. It's because God has given you that ability and propensity. So this ticket will allow you to check out, assess yourselves in those three categories. Now, here's the thing. Listen. Look up here. Put the card down. If you have created an account in the past, use that account. Because each time a person makes an account, Mosaic House Church, we have to pay, right? So just one account per person. Let's say it together. One account per person. Thank you so much. Now, John, hey, show me that key photo, please. Okay. Jesus Christ says in the Bible, the keys to the kingdom have been given to the church. But that's not it. That's not the keys to the kingdom, but that is the keys to this building, which we are responsible, and four of them are missing. Four of these, not the keys of kingdom, but the keys of the church, are missing. So therefore, if we have seen one of these keys, call me. I have a reward for. All right? Call me. These are very important. All right? You've seen these keys? Let's pray together. Risen Christ, words fail to convey how profoundly grateful we are to you. You have accepted us. You have loved us. And you did not stop there. You began transforming us. And now we render to you. Use us. Use us for your glory. Use us for the edification of others. Use us to make a difference in your world. We want our lives to be counted. So now, therefore, as we open your scripture, help us to meet you in it. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal Jesus to us. In the name of Christ, we pray. And God's people said, amen, amen. Whether you are a Christian or not, whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ, or you are someone who is investigating the person and the truth of Jesus Christ, here's what I know. On your funeral day, you will ask this question. Well, actually, no. You're dead by then already. Okay? Before you die, do this exercise. Ask the question, how do I want people to remember me by? What do you want people to say about you on your funeral day? As a pastor, I think I've either officiated or involved in or attended funerals in my life about 200 times. 200 funerals, just about. And it is a really, really good thing for me because every time I attend one, I ask the same question. Hey, Victor Ko, when you die, and when you see yourself in the casket, and as people walk by, what do you want them to say about you? So again, question. On your funeral day, as you lie cold in that wooden casket, what do you wish you want people to say about you? Kent was a successful businessman. This was years ago. I was back in Michigan. And he actually owned a funeral home business. And he was well-to-do. He had a massive heart attack. he was gone. Tough times for the family, because they had no time to, you know, close. One good thing about sudden deaths is you don't suffer much, but the awful thing about sudden deaths is that your loved ones don't have a chance to say goodbye or love you. Well, that's what happened again. He was gone. It was a huge, massive funeral service. It was so big that we had to move the location from the church to a school auditorium. And I sat there, I remember this. So-and-so is here, sure. Oh, they are here, okay, they are here. And I go, Maria, what are you doing here? What do you have in common with Ken? Okay. So after the service, I went over there. Maria, thanks for being here, being a support to the family. But may I ask, why you took the day off and came here and sat and paid respects? She said, when my family and I came over to the U.S. as refugees, the late Ken, he gave us money and he sent me through school. I had no idea. Ken was all right as a guy, but I never thought he was a generous person. But I realized this man was generous and he was quiet about it. So all this time, you know, I don't remember Ken as anything else. He was okay as a person. You know, he wasn't all that fun to be with. He was kind of loudmouth. But one thing I remember about Ken now is he was someone who showed generosity. Now, here's my question to myself. Victor Coe, how do you wish to be remembered by? When you breathe your last breath and when you are no more, what do you want people to say about you? I'll tell you the answer at the end, so stay tuned. But here's a question for you. What about you all? How do you want to be remembered by? Someone who's generous? Someone who made time for others? Someone who was there for others? Or someone who made life-changing differences in your innovations, in your work, whatever, how do you want to be remembered by? Well, here's a theme and the goal of the message. And please follow along in your handout. Okay? In the words of Jesus, I believe, as best as I could tell from the scripture, Jesus wants you to be remembered by other people when you are no more by this, that you were a disciple of Jesus who made disciples of Jesus, who made disciples of Jesus. So write these words in the theme and goal sentence. Jesus Christ is making you all his disciples, plural, who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples to change the world. The main key, main word here is disciple. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the Son of God, God himself, what is he doing? He is in the business of making you all his disciples. But he doesn't stop there. His goal for you and me is to become disciples of Christ and who make what? Disciples of Jesus. Who make what? Disciples of Jesus. Who make disciples of Jesus. And when we are doing that, when we make disciples, then the end result is Jesus Christ changes the world through you making disciples. So let's turn to the Word of God. Matthew 28, it is a pillar passage in the whole Bible. The whole Bible is God-inspired. It's filled, breathed by the Holy Spirit. And yet, there are important places and passages, and this is one of them. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus came in flesh. He lived on the face of the earth. He made a difference. And the way he made difference in the world was by making disciples. And then he was crucified. He died for our sins and to make us whole. And he rose from the dead to give us his resurrected life. And now he's about to return to God the Father. And he says in this chapter, Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. You go. And you keep on going to do what? To, let's say that together, to make disciples of all nations. To make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. Whatever I did to you and for you, here's my expectation. You do that same thing for someone else, who did the same thing for someone else. And as we do that, as we become Jesus' disciples and make disciples who make disciples, here's Jesus' promise. And surely I will be with you. Surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus making disciples of you all and us making disciples who make disciples is a solution to the problem. And the problem is the world needs Jesus. The world is not what it's supposed to be. I am not what I'm supposed to be. You are not what you're supposed to be. And this life was meant for to be something different in the sight of Jesus. And that's why he came. He did not stay in heaven. He saw the problems of our world. He saw my problems. And he said, Victor, you know what your problem is? You. You are the problem. And I need to give you hope. And Christ claims, he claims that he is the hope. So he comes down. He dies for my sins. He sets a new program in the world by making disciples out of us who make disciples, and then he changes the world. So would you write in first point, number one, Jesus Christ claims to be the hope of the world, and he is changing the world through you. He claims to be the hope. He thinks he is the solution to the problem of our world, of our life. And he says, I'm going to change the world. How? Not by changing the world, but by changing you. He's changed the world through you. I don't know about you, but that inspires me. And you know why that inspires me? Because I realize if Jesus is true and he is right, then my purpose in life is not just for me. I am a means to an end. I was meant for to be a part of something big and greater than just myself. And that inspires me. That motivates me. He is the hope of the world. And the way he's changing the world is through you. So here's a question for you. He says, all authority in heaven and earth. Now, friends, that's a bold, big, audacious statement. He's saying, all the power in the entire universe has been given to me. And that's because I am God. I'm the creator, saying Jesus. And I am going to change the world. How? By making you his disciples. So here's a question for you. What is a disciple? Number two question. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a person who, having been transformed, that's a key word, having been transformed by his grace, and we kept hearing that word, joins Jesus in his mission, in his movement. John, what did I write? There we go. Let's say that together in one voice. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a person who, having been transformed by his grace, joins him in his movement to multiply Jesus. Okay? So there are actually three parts to this. A disciple of Christ. It's a Hebrew concept, so I got to spend some time to unpack it. Okay? A disciple is someone who Christ calls. He says, I'm calling you. You're not good enough. You're not worthy. You are an odd one out. You are messed up, you are a sinner, but I'm calling you. That's grace. So right now, today, right here, when God sees you, he doesn't see the junk, what he does, but he doesn't stop there. He doesn't see your sins, what he does, but he doesn't stop there. He sees all that, and yet he says, through my son Jesus, I accept you, and I love you. You don't have to change a thing about you, about your past, about your present. in order for me to love and accept you. That's grace, because we're not deserving. Grace is a gift. We don't deserve, we're not worthy, we haven't worked for it, but because God is gracious and he is gracious and kind, he gives that gift to us. I love you, accept you, Victor. Okay. Now, so that's a disciple who receives grace, but that's not enough. I am being transformed. That's a really good word, transformed. So disciple is not someone who just receives the teaching of Jesus, but someone who is being transformed from the inside out in her character, in her outlook, in her actions, in her behavior. When people see that person, they may say, you know, she sounds, she feels, she acts like a little tiny Jesus. That's a disciple. Not just the information, but the transformation of the heart, character, and action. So when you are a disciple of Christ by his grace, what do? You join him in his movement to multiply Jesus. So let me clarify. I'm a disciple of Christ. I have received his gift because he's so kind and generous. And so therefore, I want to become like him in my character, in my action, in my destiny. And the way I do that is, I join Jesus' movement to multiply Jesus. So therefore, I don't stop with myself, but I say, you follow me as I follow Jesus. You become a disciple of Christ as I am a disciple of Christ. And then I don't stop there. I say, now, all that you have received from Jesus and all that I'm doing for you to train you as a disciple of Christ, now here's the expectation. Here's the expectation. You do that to and for someone else. And as you do so, you make sure that someone else does that for and to someone else after that. Oh, and you don't stop there, and you make sure that someone else does that to someone else, someone else. It's a movement. It's a movement. And that is why, if I stop at myself, I'm just going to receive Jesus' grace, and I'm very thankful and grateful, and I'm going to be a closet Christian. You know what a closet Christian is? Only you and Jesus know that you are a Christian. Nobody else does. Okay? That is not what Jesus wants from me and you. He says, I love you, I grace you, you are being transformed, therefore you become my disciple who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. It's a four generations program. If we keep the four generations simultaneously, then he is going to change the world upside down. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago, and that's what's been happening ever since, but we got to do it better. Don't stop at yourself by being a disciple of Christ, because that is not a mature disciple. A mature disciple is someone who makes disciples, who makes disciples, who makes disciples. It is a movement. Jesus is not an institution. He is a movement. So, let's spell it out. Then how do we train ourselves in this boot camp of being disciples of Jesus by his grace? And how do we make disciples who make disciples and who make disciples? Well, I'm just going to spill out six core values. Okay? There could be other things in the Bible, but as the body of Christ and Mosaic House Church, we said, let's just focus on six, and let's just do six really well. And here are the six. Number one, scripture. In fact, hey, boss, put the whole picture up on the screen. Okay? Give them the cheat sheet. Here's the cheat sheet. All the answers, the blanks. Okay? Let's say together, as disciples of Jesus, we devote ourselves to the following values. So this is number three. Disciples of Jesus devote themselves to these six core values. The word devote, to devote, denotes your undivided attention. When you devote yourself to something, you are passionate because you see the value in your decision. You devote yourself to your newborn baby, don't you, moms? You are totally focused on that. I'm going to give my life to you so that you may live. Let's make it quickly because I'm really deprived of sleep. You devote yourself to your sport because you are passionate about it, and you give your time and talents and your treasure because you are so focused on that goal. So that's what we do as disciples of Christ. We devote ourselves to the sixth. Let's say together in one voice, Scripture, to know Jesus, prayer, to meet Jesus, generosity, to show Jesus, community, to belong with Jesus, sent out, to go with Jesus, and lastly, movement to multiply Jesus. Let's take one value at a time. Scripture. We devote ourselves. God is transforming you. And this takes His grace absolutely. And at the same time, listen to this. Jesus Christ desires your partnership. Okay? I heard someone say something really beautiful. What God does to you is His gift. No, sorry. Who you are is God's gift to you. And what you do is your gift to God. Who you are is God's gift to you. And what you do is your gift to God and to the world. So as we engage in this discipleship training, in Scripture, we get to know Jesus. The person of Jesus, before the Scripture becomes how-to books, the Scripture must become a love letter. Before you find out, well, how do I make this decision as I navigate this challenge in my world right now? Oh, let's go to the Scripture. We may do that, and we should do that, right? But before the Scripture is a manual book, it must first become a love letter. You get to know Jesus in it. It's a love letter. Jesus is pleading with you. Come. Let's get together. Get to know me. I know you well, but don't you want to get to know me? So it's about knowing Jesus. So in Scripture, you meet the person of Jesus, and as we meet the person of Jesus, He gives the manual book. Lord Jesus, whom should I marry? Should I marry at all? Is singleness just as good as marriage? Lord Jesus, what about sex, before sex? I'm sorry. What did I say? Don't answer that. Sometimes when I ask a question, that's not for information. I'm trying to navigate here. Lord Jesus, what about sex? Is sex a good thing, not only in marriage, but outside of it? What about sex before marriage? What about sex during marriage? And what's allowed and what's cool and what's not? Okay? And what about sex in heaven after we die? Is there sex? Now, all these questions will be answered in the Scripture, but only after we get to know Jesus. Okay? That's my point. So on the note, starting next Sunday, we're going to kick off a brand new series. It's called Asking for a Friend. Asking for a Friend. You know how sometimes you feel, you know, I wonder what Jesus is about sex in the Bible, in the Scripture, but you don't want to ask the question. So you say, Pastor V, I have a friend who was asking me. So he's asking for a friend to ask the pastor the following question. So, you know, like sex. We may deal with that in the series. I think we are. Yes, we are. We are going to talk about sex in church. So invite your friends. Another topic. And all these topics came from you to us. It said, hey, can we talk about this? Another topic. Suicides. Someone said, I have a friend. I have a neighbor. My classmate. It was an awful thing, and it impacted all of us tremendously. Is there a hope? And if so, is there hope for the deceased? And what's the hope for the surviving families and friends? Is there a hope? in the aftermath of suicide. Another question, asking of a friend. Don't all religions lead to the same God? You know, can we just get along? Yes, we should. Okay? But all these different paths of religions, philosophies, at the end, don't they all lead to the same place? What does Jesus say about that? Okay? So starting next Sunday, brand new series, Asking for a Friend. So come for yourselves, because you're disciples of Jesus. And those of you who are investigating Jesus, this is a fantastic series. He did it really say that? Oh, that's profound, right? Okay. And come with a friend. So scripture two, what? In scripture two, know Jesus. And what's next? Prayer. In prayer to meet Jesus. You know, this morning in the basement, as you were coming here to be gathered, there was a whole bunch of praying people down there. In fact, right now, there are people around this in this room who are praying for you. Okay, they're praying on the wall, literally. They're just standing in the back. They're praying. Okay, when we pray, something happens. When we pray, God answers. Did you know God answers your prayer 100% of the time? Whatever prayer you offer to God, He always, always, 100% answers it. He will either say, yes, I will do so. I've been waiting for you to ask me, child. Or, I know you want this. I know you need this, but timing is not right. Wait. Yes, wait, and last. No, are you crazy, Victor? Why would I get you that? That's going to mess you up. And therefore, since I love you, I'm not gonna. So he answers, yes, wait, no. Yes, wait, no. But he answers our prayers. However, before, lest you think prayer is just getting things from God, remember this. Prayer is not just getting things from God. Prayer is getting God. You catch that? In prayer, the primary purpose is knowing. Since we know Jesus from the scripture now, we meet Jesus in prayer. It is your relationship building environment. It's a communication. He talks to you through scripture, and you talk back to him in prayer. So in prayer, we get to meet Jesus. So we do that alone. Alone, in your showers, yes, in your cars, yes, but together, in small groups of house churches, or collectively in this larger body, we pray together to meet Jesus, and as we meet Jesus, we are changing the world as his disciples. Third, generosity to show Jesus. There are three T words. This is how we show Jesus: with our time, talent, and treasure. Time. We show Jesus as we devote our time in the lives of others. Talents. We show Jesus generosity as we invest our talents and gifts for the betterment of others and for the world. Treasure. We invest money that Christ has given to us, the money they entrusted in our care. We use that money to show Jesus generosity. So your time, your talents, and your treasure. I don't mean you just deal with treasure. I mean, time. All three T words for everyone, okay? They are not ours. We have received them to be caretakers of God's time, God's talents, and God's treasure in us. We receive the benefits of being entrusted in those three things. At the same time, Jesus says, use them to show my generosity to the people around you. Okay? Friends, whatever we do for the Lord is our gift to Jesus. Okay? But remember this. He always, always, always makes the first move. He gave us his time. He gave us his talents. He gave us his treasure, without which we wouldn't be here. Without which we would not be saved. Without which I would remain as the odd one out. Without any solution. Without Jesus giving up his life, we'll be forever lost. So he has given all that to us, time, talents, and treasures. So we give them out back to him to show his generosity. And I see this time and time again, you know, in the lives of the disciples. Whether it be a car, whether it be support money, whether it be acts of time, acts of service. I hear stories where people's lives are changed or touched because you have shown generosity. And what's sent out? Sent out means to go with Jesus. It means to go with Jesus. Friends, listen to me. You could either be a consumers of religion, or you can be a missionary of a movement. A consumer mentality is, okay, what am I going to get out of this? How is God going to edify me? How is God going to support me? How is Mosaic Church going to satisfy spiritual hunger and longing? That's the consumer mentality. What is God going to do for me? What's the church going to do for me? The missionary mindset in the movement is, having been graced, I'm going to join Jesus and I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go out. So you don't remain in this closet. You don't remain in this bubble. You go out and you go to the scripture. Every person whom Christ came in grace and blessed, no one remains the same in his place. Everyone is sent out. God comes to Abram and says, go. I'm going to bless you. Go. And you are being blessed as you go. Go, 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 go. Leave your country, leave your family, leave your friends, and leave everything behind. Go. Go out with Jesus. Where is Jesus going? Follow him. Find him there. Like Hikari. I felt God was moving in this place, and therefore we wanted to be a part of this movement. God is going someplace, so you go with him. You go with him. Paul, it was Saul who became Paul because Christ discipled him, showed his grace, and he was transformed. And what happened to him? He did not stay where he was. He was sent out. Every one of us is being sent out to your workplace, to your school, to your neighborhood, to your gym. We are being sent out to show Jesus. And lastly, movement. What does that mean? To, say it together, to multiply. We become Jesus' disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, disciples who make disciples. It is a movement. I want to tell you a story. Confession time. For the longest portion of my, you know, pastor career, I just focused on one aspect of it, as in, I'm going to disciple you. You do scripture, you do prayer, you do generosity, you do community. Did I leave out community? Community! Well, someone should have stopped. Community, to belong with Jesus. When Christ calls you as his disciples, he says to you, you belong with me now, you belong with me, and because you belong with me, you belong with the church, the body of Christ. Christ says, "You, since you belong with me, you belong with the body, the church. If you belong with Jesus, you cannot belong with him without belonging in the body. Is that clear? Let no one be deceived. Let no one be deceived who says, I'm fine with Jesus on my own, in the comforts, in the privacy of my bedroom, in my home, but I don't need the church. Jesus will not have it that way. He will not have it that way. He says, because you belong with me, you belong with my body, my church. And that's what you heard time after time. What Jack have common with you, Elaine? Elaine? What does Jack have common? Jack, what do you have common with Elaine? You're old, she's young. You're white, she's darker than white. Jack, you get my point. You get my point. But I hear Jack say, I hear Elaine say, there's a sense of belonging. The only common thing that we have, the bond that keeps together all of us, is we belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. That's community. So how does it happen here? How should it happen in your life? In a smaller, close-knit community like the house church. They know you, and you know them. And in spite of that, you belong together. Here's another community, the larger community. I call this the big house. The big house, we gather all together, and we belong with Jesus. We accept you. We accept one another. But we don't stop there. And then, therefore, let's make a difference. Let's join Jesus in his movement. Let's end the plane. Let's land the plane. Therefore, here's a question for you. In your sermon outline, it reads, so how do you want to be remembered by at your funeral day, on your funeral day? Before you answer that, ask it differently. How would Jesus want you to be remembered by on your funeral day? Would you like to know how I answer that question myself? Just one of you. I'll just tell you later after the service. Here's my conviction in life. Once I breathe my last, once I lay cold in that wooden casket, as people come by, and if you come by, here's what I want to hear. Here's what I want to see. I want people to say, Jesus used that sinner, Victor Coe, to bring me to Jesus as his disciple. And he challenged me. He was a pain in the butt. So that I make disciples. Who make disciples? Who make disciples? Who make disciples? That's what I want to hear. You know why? Because that's how God is going to change our world. He's not going to change the politics by reforming politics. You know how he's going to change politics? By disciples who happen to be politicians. You know how he's going to change the school system? You know how Jesus wants to change the school systems? Not reforming the system, by placing disciples of Jesus who happen to be teachers and administrators. How is Jesus going to redeem the Hollywood? Not by changing the culture itself, but by sending disciples who happen to be movie actors and producers and directors. He changed the world through his disciples. Your question, how does Jesus want me to be remembered by? Let's pray with me. Christ, we thank you so much for your amazing grace, which we do not deserve. And yet, you are gracious and kind to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, we want to respond to your rich grace with trust, worship, and partnership. Help us to be movement makers. Help us to become movement makers by making disciples. We give ourselves to you. Let there be greater things done to this city and to your world in the next 5 years.